Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Okay, let's get started. Father, you are the great and awesome God, and our desire is to always be obedient to you, and you have told us to engage with folks around us, to share the gospel, to be light and salt to the world. And this morning, as we begin another program, we trust that would encourage us, help us to talk and to others and reach out to others and explain to others who you are and have some convincing arguments. So thank you for men like J. Warner Wallace and others that we have been viewing and studying as they approach your word and approach the way to talk to folks in a way that allows us to do it just a little bit better. For all those that aren't with us this morning, that you would watch over them and care for them as well, protect them if they're traveling. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is session one, the objective and subjective truth. In your notes, there are places to fill in the blanks, and so I have that all completed, and we'll go through that. Some of them are before the video and some are after, so we'll go through that together this morning. The first section, so the next generation will know, preparing young Christians for a challenging world. For a challenging world. If you haven't started reading that book, it's really good. It's really good. I have enjoyed that, and I don't know how much I'll get done this week, but I plan on getting a couple more of the books read this week, if possible. So the first question, our sacrifices reveal our what?
Love.
Love?
Is it?
Did it? Page 25? I didn't bring my books with me. What do you have, Aunt Nancy?
I left my books at home.
You left your...
I
thought
the door to go off.
I was reading the wrong page. It's our priorities.
There you go. Our sacrifices reveal our priorities. So what's that really mean? It's exactly right. You want to know what a person's thinking, look what he's willing to sacrifice for. Yep, that's exactly right. More than ever, we must embrace blank. That will help young people set their hope in God, remember the works of God, and keep the commandments of God. Now more than ever, we must embrace what? Strategies. We need to figure out how to communicate with young people a way that doesn't force them, and I use that word on purpose, force them to walk away from the church. That's what this is all about, this series. And the next couple questions are from A Cold Case Christianity, a homicide detective investigates the claim of the gospel. If all truth is simply a matter of blank and blank blank, it's virtually impossible to convict someone of a crime. If all truth is simply a matter of perspective, if it's really true that your truth is something and my truth is something, and they can coexist but be different, then nothing can be true and nothing can be false. There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. There's the truth. That's it. If all truth is simply a matter of perspective and subjective opinion, it's virtually impossible to convict a person of a crime. The video that we'll see here in a bit, he does a really good job of illustrating the difference between subjective and objective truth. So any questions on this before we move on to the... I forgot another set of questions. Those who claim truth is a matter of perspective and opinion are proclaiming this as more than a matter of perspective and opinion. They would like us to believe that their definition is objectively true. In other words, my opinion is objectively true because it's my opinion. Until it conflicts with your opinion, which you hold as objectively true. And he'll illustrate that in the video. Questions before we move on? Okay. Session 1, objective and subjective truth.
In this course, we're going to be talking about how to make a case for Christianity. It's an evangelism course, but if you look at the last chapter of Cold Case Christianity, you'll see that I talk about becoming a two-decision Christian, making that decision to go beyond just believing something is true, but to actively making the case to others. And when people ask me, well, are you an apologist? What does that mean? I always say, well, no, I'm a Christian case maker. I try to make the case for Christianity, and a lot of us feel called to do that, and I hope this course is going to help you do it. But like any time we make a case, cases are built foundationally on certain foundational principles that kind of are the foundation for the argument to begin with. And this is also true for Christianity. So we're going to be looking at a couple of things that are foundational to Christianity. If we're going to be making a case for the truth of Christianity, well, the first assumption is that we all agree on what we're talking about when we use the word truth. What do we mean by the word truth? And so what I want to do in this first session is talk about the relationship and the nature of truth and the distinction between objective truth claims and subjective truth claims, because we're in a culture right now where there's a lot of confusion about that. And I only use those two terms for truth, subjective and objective. I know a lot of people will use the term absolute truth. I don't do that because I think you'll see why as we explain this. Now, I'm going to show you a presentation here as I walk you through it to help you see the difference between objective truth claims and subjective truth claims. Imagine, for example, that I asked you to share the truth, to do some evangelism on the streets of your local largest town. And so we have this opportunity to go out into the streets in this neighborhoods and share the truth with people who don't know anything about Christianity, who don't know anything about the truth at all. Now, if I told you we were going to just go and share the truth with people on the streets of the largest city nearest you, but I didn't tell you what kind of truth it was. And then when we got there and we all started piling out of the cars to have this day, and a lot of us have done, you know, a single day of evangelism, some street evangelism, whatever. But now we get out of the car and I tell you that, you know what? The truth we're going to share today is, what is the best dessert? And I think a lot of you would say, what? Why are we even bothering with this? Why would we care to share what is the best dessert? You know, that seems like a kind of a wasted effort. Now, for me, the best dessert is clearly, and it ought to be for you, it ought to be chocolate chip cookies. That's in my view, that is the best dessert. But would you go downtown with me to make a case, to really argue for a case, or to really be passionately sharing the case for the best dessert? Probably not, because you recognize that even my claim about what is the best dessert is simply a matter of my personal opinion. In other words, I, as the subject, hold a subjective opinion, and that's what this is. This is just my personal opinion about what is the best dessert. And because I, as the subject, make this decision and make this claim, we call these kinds of claims, claims that are grounded in the subject who makes them, subjective truth claims. So when I use this expression, subjective truth claim, I simply mean claims that are grounded in subjects such as you or me. By the way, a group is also just a group of subjects. So if a group is what it's grounded in, it's still a subjective claim. Now, what if I instead said, we're going to go downtown and we're going to share the truth, which is a cure for tuberculosis, because in this town, there's a lot of people who don't even know they have tuberculosis. I'm in Southern California. We have some, occasionally have flares of outbreaks of tuberculosis. We are very close to the Mexican border. And so a lot of times, well, people don't even know they have tuberculosis. It kind of presents, at least initially, you wouldn't even know it was TB. But if you knew that there were people who were dying of TB and would certainly die if they don't get the cure, and you had the cure and you knew what the cure was, would you go downtown to share this with people? Now, this is different than a claim about the best dessert. I think you would do this. I think this is the kind of thing you absolutely would want to go and share. Now, it turns out that the cure for TB, tuberculosis, is a drug, a cocktail of three antibiotics grounded mostly in isoniazid. So the question, this is the cure for TB. Now, this is not a matter of my personal opinion. This is true for everyone who has TB. You might think, well, I don't even want to take isoniazid, and I think the better cure is NyQuil. Well, guess what? Your belief in NyQuil is not going to make NyQuil the cure for TB. This is not grounded in subjects who hold opinions. This is grounded in the object known as isoniazid. And because this is grounded in an object rather than in you as the subject, this kind of claim is called an objective truth claim. An objective truth claim. Now, why do we even care about this? Because I think there's an entire generation of young people growing up, and the culture is shifting in this direction where we have these subjective versions of truth, my truth, your truth, their truth, not the truth. And if we think that Christianity is just a version of God that is just applicable to you, it's your view, good for you, but it's not my view. Well, then how likely is anyone going to want to share it? Think about it. You know, lots of Christians who are not sharing their faith. And the reason why they're not sharing their faith is not because they don't think it's true. It's because they hold an errant view of truth to begin with. They think that all these things, including religious beliefs, claims about God, are simply a matter of personal opinion grounded in subjects, and we don't spend a lot of time arguing for the best dessert. So why would we spend a lot of time? Look, you got a Mormon family living next door or a Buddhist across the street, leave them alone. That's good enough, right? That's their God. You have your God. It's all good. Really? Well, when we do that, if you think about it, we are actually sharing. We are failing this year because we are treating the gospel like a cookie instead of a cure. We are treating it as though it's a subjective claim and failing to see it for what it really is, which is an objective claim. But a lot of folks don't think it's an objective claim. And that's what I want to walk you through before we close this first session, because I want you to see the difference. Now, give you just a way of illustration. For a number of years, I had a car which I loved, one of my favorite cars ever, and I'm sure it's a great car. I'm sure when you see it, you'll be impressed as well. It was my 2004 Hyundai Sonata. Now, I can tell you, my daughter was not all that impressed with this car when it became her car. At some point, it was her turn to take this thing over. I don't want that car. That's an old man car, she said. She didn't think it was a great car. I thought it was the best car you could drive. I thought it was. Let me make a claim about Hyundai cars in general, and you tell me if this is objective or subjective. So here's my claim. Hyundai automobiles are the coolest cars in the world. Now, my daughter didn't think it was. She might say, well, that's your opinion, but it's not mine. Okay, that's true. This is a subjective claim. Now, there's a way it could be an objective claim, not grounded in my personal opinion, but grounded in the nature of the object called a Hyundai. For example, if I took all cars in the entire world into a testing facility in which we tested their air conditioning, and I discovered that Hyundais are 2 degrees colder by way of air conditioning than any other car on the planet, then it could be said objectively, grounded in the object known as a Hyundai, that Hyundais actually are the coolest cars in the world. They're 2 degrees cooler than any other car in the world. Do you see the difference? My view that these are hip cars or nice cars is one type of view. It's a subjective claim. My view that this is the coolest car, if they actually measured to be the coolest car, would be an objective claim. Look, I'm committed to Hyundais. This is my son Jimmy's Hyundai. He had this. He still has it. He had this from college all the way. He's now 10 years into his career. He still has this car. Crazy, right? My son David is a doctor. He still owns this car he's had since college. We Hyundais drive, they last forever, so we have Hyundais. Now, let me make another claim about Hyundais. Here it is. Hyundais can fly you to the moon. Is this an objective claim or a subjective claim? Think about it. Interesting, right? Now, it's clearly a false claim. But your opinion can't make Hyundais go to the moon if they can't. And your opinion can't keep Hyundais from going to the moon if they can. In other words, this claim is not grounded in your personal subjective opinion. This claim is grounded in the object known as a Hyundai. And it turns out this Hyundai is not going to get you to the moon. Now, you just discovered something that, yes, it's possible to have a false objective claim. That's not really the case when it comes to, if it was just grounded in your subjective view, then anything you say is basically what you say. But this is different. This is grounded in an object. You could actually test it to see if the claim is true or false in a way that you can't test your own view. So this is something that we call a false objective claim. We, of course, you know, spaceships are required to get you to the moon. So I just taught you a couple of things you need to know to distinguish between objective claims and subjective claims. And I'm going to give you a test now to see how well you do. But let's review first what you've learned so far. Here's the first thing. You can change a subjective truth, a claim, by simply changing your opinion. So you could say one day that you think the chocolate chip cookies are the best dessert. The next day you can say, no, it's not the best dessert. That's up to you because it's grounded in your subjective claim and your subjective opinion, your personal opinion. Now, on the flip side of that, objective claims really could be verified or falsified. You make a claim about an object, we can all see together if it's true. I can't look inside your mind to see if that's true for you, but I could look at the Hyundai, for example. So if I said, hey, I have a penny in my pocket or some money in my pocket, I could say, empty your pockets, prove it to me. And then we can find out. That's a claim that you cannot make money appear in your pockets by changing your opinion, right? Wouldn't that be great if you could? Anyway, the point is, that's the first distinction. Here's another one. If you think about it, no one wastes a lot of energy or passion trying to make a case for subjective truth claims, right? I mean, if I said to you, I think that Hyundais are the best car, how much time are you really going to spend? Does it really matter what I think is the best car? But if I said to you, for example, I think that NyQuil will cure my tuberculosis, well, objective claims are the kinds of things we ought to be talking about because you might just save my life. So it turns out there is a passion that is resident in objective claims and making a case for objective claims, which is much higher than it is for subjective opinions. So now let's do a test together. I'm going to separate all truth claims into two sides. On the left side, we'll have all objective truths. And on the right side, we'll have all subjective truths. Remember, objective truths are the stuff that is true for everyone, whether we like it or not, because it's grounded in objects, not in subjects. And subjective claims, of course, is the stuff that really is just a matter of personal opinion because they're grounded in subjects. So I'm going to give you a claim. Think about it. Tell me, figure it out. Which side of these two is it going to go on? Is it objective or subjective? We're going to start with the lowest, easiest bar. The easiest kinds of claims about truth are simply claims about objects, things, physical things, material things. So let me give you a claim. Here's a claim. Objective or subjective? Well, ask the question. Number one, can my opinion make it so? Is this grounded in my? Is it my opinion that's making my car white, or keeping it from being white? No. And could this be falsified or verified in some way? Yes, it could be falsified, or we could go outside and see. So this goes over here. This is an objective claim about the nature of my car. Let me give you another claim about my car. Objective or subjective? Yeah, this is what I mean by best in terms of staying clean or getting dirty or staying cool. This is a matter of personal opinion. And this goes over here. Two claims about the physical object known as a car, yet one of them is objective claim, one of them is a subjective claim. Are you starting to get it? Let me raise the bar a little bit. Let's go from physical objects and material items to concepts Conceptual truth claims. That's another level of difficulty. Here's a conceptual truth claim. You tell me, is it objective or subjective? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be great if all math facts were just a matter of opinion? Because then you could go take a test and bring it to your teacher and say, hey, this is 100% paper because you know what? In my view, these are all correct answers. No, sorry, it doesn't work that way. This is objectively grounded in mathematics. By the way, we're in a world right now in which this is starting to be challenged. This is how relativistic our world has become. This is why we're having this discussion first. If we cannot make a case for the objective nature of truth, then there's nothing objectively true about Christianity. Let me give you another claim about math, and you tell me if this is objective or subjective. Yeah, if you're like me, I hate math so much. This almost feels like it's an objectively false claim, right? But for a lot of people, this is the most exciting. And this is a subjective matter of opinion over there. By the way, for all the math geeks out there, there's another word for math geeks. They're called employers. So I want us to be sure we have a high value in math. Anyway, the point is, that's a subjective claim. Let me give you a little wrench. Throw a little wrench in before we raise the level on. What about this claim? Objective or subjective? It's a little confusing here because the issue under consideration is a subject named Jim, me. But I can't will myself. If I said it was 1,000,000 pushups, could I say, well, in my opinion, I can do 1,000,000 pushups, so therefore I can do 1,000,000 pushups? No, this could actually be tested. This is an objective claim. It could be verified or falsified. And I cannot make it so by simply willing it by changing my opinion. So this is an objective claim about a subject known as Jim. This goes over here. Are you following with me so far? We've done physical objects, material items. We've done concepts. Now I want to raise the bar into metaphysical concepts, metaphysical claims, claims about the nature of reality. Here's one. Objective or subjective? Now we're starting to get close to why we're talking about this in terms of evangelism. This is not a matter of my personal opinion. I cannot make God exist if he doesn't, and I cannot keep God from existing if he does by simply saying so, by deciding it so. This could be a false claim. It may be that God doesn't exist, but it's a claim about an object. It's an objective claim about the object here is God. So this goes over here. Again, we apply those two processes. One, can our opinion make it so? Or keep it from being so. If not, it's not subjective. And two, could it be verified or falsified? Now, you might say, well, how do we verify or falsify God? We're going to get to that, but it's an objective claim. Here's one that's really going to hit home. Objective or subjective? Interesting, huh? I cannot make Christianity the only true religion and make Jesus the only way to God by simply changing my mind. Willing it to be. And I cannot keep him from being the case, from being so, if by my opinion either. It could be false. This could be a false objective claim, but it is an objective claim about reality. Do you see why these claims about the nature of God, about the existence of God, about the existence and nature of Jesus and his identity, these are claims that are worth talking about. We don't talk about things that are simply a matter of personal opinion and preference. We talk about the things we ought to be most passionately engaged in conversations about the things that are objectively true or false. That's why this conversation matters. It's a cure. It's a cure for what's killing us spiritually. Now I'm going to do the last level in this session. I want to test you. Here we go. The highest, hardest level of truth claims that are most confusing to culture are moral truth claims. So we went through physical objects, concepts, metaphysical claims, now moral claims. Here's one. Objective or subjective? Now, a lot of people will say, no, this is just a matter of cultural decisions. These are cultural mores. These are things that are developed over time by different groups, and different groups disagree. Let me supersize it. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Are all moral truths simply a matter of personal opinion? Because if they are, and you said, well, you know, you ought not sleep with children. Let's make it as crazy as we can. You ought not torture babies for fun. Oh, well, you know, some people, do I get to decide that? Because if those things are grounded in simply in personal opinion, well, then I can't, if somebody disagrees with you on one of these issues, you could never adjudicate between those two people. Because let's face it, you're equally human. Your personhood is not under, I cannot say, well, he's more of a person than you are. His personal opinion ought to count more than yours. And if you said, well, no, this is not a matter of personal opinion. This is a matter of cultural consensus. This is a matter of all of us deciding as a group, right? Well, if that's the case, then how do we adjudicate between two groups who disagree? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. This has happened historically. There have been groups who have disagreed about how, for example, concentration camps should be run during World War II. And when they tried the people who were involved in those concentration camps at Nuremberg, the officers, the SS officers who were involved and under trial really were facing execution, they said, you cannot accuse us of doing anything wrong when our culture affirmed this behavior. In other words, they were making the same case that this is that moral behavior is a matter of subjective truth. Yes, the group of subjects is more than one, but even a group of subjects is still subjective. So they said, you cannot execute us. You cannot adjudicate over us who were, just because you won the war, you don't agree with us. That was their basic defense. And they were all executed. Why? Because there is a law above the law. But whoa, where could that come from? Where could that come? We're going to talk about that in one of our sessions. But there must be something outside, above simply the opinions of subjects, in which we ground these kinds of truth claims as well. Look, it could be a false claim. Maybe that premarital sex is absolutely immoral, is moral. It may be that it's immoral. That's a decision we can have to make a case for. But it's not a matter of personal opinion. It's going to be something that's innate to the nature of the act itself. It's grounded in the object, which is the actual act, not in the person who's evaluating it. So we have to help our young people see not just that, you know, these two different views of truth exist, but that the existence of God and the truth of Christianity is in the objective category. Look, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most foundational things we're going to have to be talking about with people around us as we share the truth about Christianity in this generation, because this is a generation that for the most part is not convinced that such things exist to begin with. And everything is a matter of personal opinion. And if that's the case, well, then you're going to find that a lot of people are going to disagree with us. And what's the point in arguing about personal opinions? So we have to spend some time helping people see that it's more than simply a personal opinion. That's it for now. See you next session.
You understand why our world is so messed up? Go ahead, Ann.
Could you say what he just said about morality in something in a very concise, easily understandable soundbite?
Yeah, the point he was making about moral truth claims is the world is saying they're subjective, when in actuality they're objective because of where they come from. Okay. They're objective. There is a standard that's been established. The common atheistic claim of morality is because, as he stated, it's a consensus of the people of the community. That's how they argue for everybody having every society in history having a rule against murder.
Right, okay.
A rule against taking your neighbor's wife and stealing and so forth. Why? Because it's common for everybody to protect everybody, and so we've established those rules rather than it being an external force that established the rule.
Okay. That's what I thought. I just wondered.
And that's one of the greatest arguments we have right now is morality. Kokel loves to make this argument. Morality has to come from somewhere, because a society left without some sort of rules becomes anarchy and becomes, I mean, it devolves very quickly.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. So... But our world today wants us to believe that, that it is all subjective. Okay, when a person makes a claim based on personal opinion, it's called a
subjective
truth claim, yeah. And sometimes people are very committed to their opinion. And so that becomes a problem. Give an example of a subjective truth claim. He just gave one. Chocolate chip cookies are the best dessert. He's wrong. Apple pie is. I mean, we all know that. Right? But you see how easy it is for, just in a simple thing like dessert. If everything is subjective, now nothing can be objective then, and nothing can be held against you because it's a matter of opinion. Just like he was talking about the Nuremberg trials for World War II war crimes. He oversimplified their position, but taking a position of our society said it's okay, so it's okay. Because it's a societal thing, it's not an objective standard given to us. I mean, you see how that can cause problems in our world, right? Mm. When a person makes a claim based on subjective opinion, it's called... When a claim is grounded in an object, it's called an...
Objective truth claim.
Objective truth claim, right. Can you give an example of an objective truth claim?
Well, he gave the isoniazid is the cure for TB.
Yeah.
You could say penicillin is the cure for pneumonia.
Yeah.
The grass is green, the sky is blue.
Well, there are some parts of what you just said that are subjective, right?
Right.
Well, what green?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And is it really green or is it really blue? Or is it really no color and it's an illusion? All those, that's how things can get really fuzzy.
That's the reason he used white? The car.
Probably. Although, if you watch any of the HGTV, there's like 1,000 whites, right? Well, that's nuts. It's either white or not. If it's not white, not pure white, then it's something else,
yeah,
the way I look at it.
But try to pick out white paint.
Yeah, yeah. But is that an objective or a subjective truth claim?
Yeah, that would be objective.
That would be subjective.
Subjective. Sorry.
Yeah. And as Ann said, the isoniazid is the cure for TB. That's the example he gave. That's a true objective truth claim. Because you can prove it, right? Just like you can prove 1 + 1 = 2.
Yep.
Those are things that can be proven.
1 + 1 = 2 is easier to say than
When we treat the gospel like a subjective claim rather than an objective claim, we are treating the gospel like a
personal opinion.
Which is a
cookie.
It's a cookie.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
It's a preference.
It's a subjective truth claim.
Subjective.
Rather than a
objective.
Thank you. Objective truth claim. We can change a subjective truth claim by simply
changing your opinion.
Changing your opinion. That's right. I don't know how many subjective truth claims I have in my world, but I suspect there's a bunch. Objective claims can be Objective claims can be blank or blank.
Measured. Proven or disproven.
Proven or disproven, verified or falsified. Can I falsify the best dessert is apple pie? No. How would you do that? What test could you do that doesn't involve someone's opinion?
I don't know, let's try it.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I don't get near enough apple pie. But Linda did make peanut butter cookies, and that's a
they're coming in somebody's body when they eat apple pie. You can go based on that. It's not an opinion.
Nice. So that would make it an objective one.
Yep.
Okay.
Say that again.
She said that you measure the amount of serotonin in a person's body after they eat apple pie. Or you would have to do it for every dessert then. And you'd have to do it for every person.
That would be kind of
a grouping like they do for
a representative sample, yeah.
Yeah. Representative sample and do it that way.
Yeah. Accurate plus or minus 3 or 4 or 5%. Yeah. I'm just gonna say apple pie is the best and y'all just get along with what I say. That's the way to do that. Right? Deal with it. Objective claims can be verified or falsified. And we need to be able to prove things. And where he's going is, at the end, he was talking about, you know, does God exist? Can we prove that? Well, there's a lot of people that say you can't. But you can't not prove him also. So that it'll be interesting as we continue down that path. No one wastes time correcting a
subjective claim.
Right. Right. Except we do. Because we want everybody to fit in our opinion.
Well,
people that like
it. You might want to change somebody's opinion about religion, but if when it comes to apple pie, I think it's not as urgent.
Yeah, it's in my best interest to not convince them that apple pie exactly. is the best. That way I get more apple pie.
Right.
One that people say all the time, they go to a restaurant and they have pizza and it's, oh, that's the best pizza in the world.
Right, that's right.
Subjective.
It was very subjective, absolutely. Okay, so no one wastes time correcting a subjective truth claim. Objective claims deserve our
attention,
yeah. We need to pay attention to those things. Now, the closing thing that he... I put that in there so many times. Holy cow. Why do you think so many people in our culture struggle with defining truth? And what specifically can you do to help those you know understand truth? Why do you think so many people in our culture struggle with defining truth?
It's what they're taught.
Yeah. Because we're taught your truth, my truth.
Don't know what the truth is.
Just simple word, my, added to truth. Taking out the, very specific, adding my now makes it global. We have destroyed the ability to understand truth. Because it's my truth. Well, that's your truth, not my truth. I never had a teacher that would work on. Oh, it's been a thing for a long time. We don't talk about it in polite society. People have believed what they've believed all along. Oh, yeah. Yeah, people have held their opinion as supreme for a long, long time. I think from the Garden of Eden. Yeah, that's exactly what Satan told Eve, right? Is what God told you really true? Is that what's going to work for you? You need to experience good and bad. You need to experience. What did God say would happen if they ate from the tree of life? Or the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah, I see that.
That's not the only part. What else did he say? You will know good from evil.
Yeah.
And so Satan asked, well, don't you want to know a difference between good and evil? It's all a matter of opinion. It's all a matter of subjective truth, the way Satan presented it. So right from the beginning. This is an argument from the beginning. Go ahead. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I'm looking back now, studying it and seeing the biblical part of it. Yes, sir. But when I was growing up, I mean... What people taught, I mean, I was never taught that this is your truth, my truth, their truth. I mean, maybe it was there.
Yeah, not those words, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was never ingrained in me that way. You know, what my teachers taught me in school was what I learned in school.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, We didn't have this struggle of...
Did you ever have a teacher teach you something different from what another teacher taught you?
I couldn't answer that.
I've had teachers teach what is not what my parents taught me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yes, that, well, yeah, that would, the biggest one, that would be evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you think so many people in our culture struggle with defining truth? Why? Because it conflicts with their own worldview. It conflicts with their own desires. I don't want to live by what God says because I want to do what I want. That's Romans 1:18. You know, they have hardened their heart. They've blinded their eyes. They've refused to accept what God has said because it doesn't fit with what they want. Or we could put it into what we saw with in the engagement project. It doesn't fit with their script. I want what I want. And that's what's most important. And so in order to do that, you have to now make it my truth, not the truth. Because the truth says, this is what God says. My truth says, God doesn't exist, and I can do this and I can do that. Because that's what my script wants. So then, what specifically can we do to help those to understand, properly to understand truth? What's our objective then? Make them understand. How do you do that?
Well, I was just really struck by the first time I heard Norm Geisler speak, and someone said, well, that's okay for you, but that's not okay. They were talking about truths, and he just looked at the person and said, are you absolutely sure that's true?
Mm-hmm.
When the person said there's no such thing as an absolute truth, and he just came back and said, are you absolutely sure?
Right. Because they're making an absolute truth claim.
Yeah.
But he'll talk about this in coming sessions. That's self-refuting, isn't it? There's no such thing as an absolute truth claim, which is an absolute truth claim.
Right.
And so we have the ability to have conversations with folks. But it's hard work to convince them, especially as the world goes further and further the way it's going, because truth is now such a nebulous thing. I've seen very little that encourages me on that level until this weekend. The first glimmer of hope, I saw that the University of Florida has fired all their DEI people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first glimmer of hope that maybe truth is actually winning.
Department of...
No, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
Those are buzzwords to lower the standards and make it so everybody can get everything and everybody's a winner.
They fired all of them.
Fired them all. Mm. First major university to do that. Now that changes the way things work. They're focused again, I hope, on truth, and not as an objective truth, not subjective truth, which is what DEI is. So you know, I've had very little hope in our society recently, but that is one that I think is hopefully it sets a trend. It's not going to change what happens in the Ivy Leagues and that kind of stuff. They're so far gone.
It'll take a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But this is not the end of the series. This is the beginning. He's beginning to make the case. And it'll take us 30 weeks to get through it all, to see it all. But this is the kind of stuff that we'll be going through for the next 29 weeks. Questions, comments? Nothing. Okay. Father, thank you for allowing us to have a discussion about truth. Remind us, Father, that we live in a world that is dominated by people that don't believe truth. At least not the truth, maybe their own truth. So let us be lighthouses in the world and show them the truth of who you are, the truth of what is coming in the future, and the surety of trusting you, the truth of the existence of you and the love that you have for us. Give us a great time in the service to follow, that you might be honored and glorified, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.